This is episode 256, recorded June 12th, 2015. Packard pokes at Santorum showed up for the pool party. We need more chlorine. I want to thank Seawalker from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
We came, we saw, we kick its ass.
Now we get an echo. And joining us from the far West Coast and to the South is the quiet atheist from Arizona, or is it New Mexico?
I'm from Texas.
Texas.
Oh my God, it's Packard.
I'm sorry.
From France, the quiet atheist.
He's from France.
Parlez-vous français?
No, the thing was on his Skype thing there. It said Arizona or New Mexico. I forgot. It told me he was in Texas. I've had a very busy day. I completely forgot. I apologize. Actually, I think you're the first person we've ever. One of our previous co-hosts was from Texas. Zach was, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, he's a guest host that hasn't been with us on the show for a long time. But he's still out there. Anyway. So, do you prefer me calling... can I call you John?
Well, you could call me the Quiet Atheist or John. It don't matter.
Okay, that works for me. I just want to be sure because I want to be... I wanted to address you properly.
No, my real name's already out there, so it don't matter.
Okay, very good. Mine's not. Joe's tried. Joe's tried to find me, though.
I know where you live.
Yeah, you know where I live. That's about as...
I know where you work. I know your kids' names. I know their schools.
Yep, you do, actually.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know yet. Shit.
He might. I don't know. He's been stalking me for a while, so I put him on the show so I can keep an eye on him.
I'm across the street from your house in a little blue car.
If you see Wi-Fi signal, FBI truck one, that's mine.
Oh, you're in the blue car. I'm in the black minivan.
There you go.
Oh, that's who was behind me. Okay.
Yeah. Yo, we should get takeout later. One of us will stay here and watch Packard's house, and the other one will go get the food.
There you go.
All right, that works, and we'll take turns. We'll take turns making food runs.
Because I'm just so interesting. Watch, he's getting in his car again. Oh, no, he's leaving. You know, I sometimes go to pool parties. Right. The only time I go to the pool is in the summertime, and there's a lot of other people there. But, you know, it's always some kind of party or something that's going on there. And I don't even live in a gated community. Down in Texas there, kids were going to a party, and some woman, her name is... No, it's not Ruff Ruff Ruff. Her last name is Toon, so that's got to tell you something right there. Last name is Toon. Apparently, her and her husband got into it with some teenagers there because they were playing. They were afraid they were going to play their music too loud, and she ended up pulling their hair. And the husband saw the incident of them struggling and called the cops. Now, the thing is, the guy, his name is Sean Toon, apparently he's had some instances with the police in the past. But when the police showed up, they immediately just believed him because, oh, I don't know, he's white and these other people were black. The thing here is there was a scuffle going on, and one of the police officers who was down there, he goes out full out rage. And he pulls a gun out on several other teens. And then he has the audacity to say, oh, I didn't pull a gun. I don't know what you're talking about. You're seeing things. You're lying. I didn't pull a gun on anybody. I watched the 7-minute video just before the show. Wow. I was sitting here with my jaw in my hand going, trying to hold it up because the video is like, oh, wow. Any cop that acts like this just does not belong in the force. And I'm glad that he resigned. He should actually, they should bring charges against him for the crap he did. I mean, if anybody else had done anything like this, they would have their charges drawn up against them. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this has been all over the internet, and I only watched this video maybe 2 days ago. I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about it, and I was like, well, I got to see this now, because I'd seen like screenshots of it and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I went and I watched the video, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But then I also watched a few other things, like after he resigned, the city came out and made a statement, and they said that morning – he had responded to a call where somebody had committed suicide.
Yeah.
And so he had to deal with the cleanup of a dead body and grieving relatives and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was consoling the relatives, and he had to take pictures of the dead body. And then his next call that day was to another attempted suicide. This time it was like a teenage girl on the roof of her house, and she was trying to jump, and he had to talk her down, and he successfully talked her down.
Right.
And then the third call was to go break up the disturbance at a party or something like that. And
yeah.
On the way to that call, he got another call that was, okay, now it's an assault. There's fighting going on.
Right.
So when he showed up, he was already like not having a really good day. They said he had 10 years of good service, but on this particular day, he just sort of lost it. He went over the edge. And I watched the video, and I saw him, like, you know, grabbing teenagers and yelling at them and throw them on the ground. And he jumped on that one girl. She was, like, 15 years old. And
yeah.
He's, like, putting his knee into her back, and she's crying, and she's screaming, I want my mama. And he's screaming at her, like, shut up, shut up. And then he pulled his gun on a group of kids. And you know, it's really unfortunate because I think, you know, I mean, we're all human.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, sometimes the police are put in really difficult situations, and sometimes they do lose it. There needs to be a little bit of compassion for that. But at the same time, if you're going to show up on a scene, you have to be professional, and you can't be grabbing kids and throwing them to the ground and screaming at people and then whipping out your gun at unarmed teenagers, you know, like, because they are just children.
Right.
The teenagers are kids. And
you did mention being professional. Now, we swear on this show a lot, and I really don't care if anybody swears. But he's professional. He was swearing at them. He's telling them to get the fuck down. You get your asses out of here. I mean, yeah. if I were to go and start swearing like that to the people I have to deal with every day, I'd be fucking fired right on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of the police techniques I learned this again from the other show is asserting dominance.
Yeah.
So when you show up to a scene that's really out of control, you have to like assert dominance and like be kind of rough like that and get into like the police train in doing this stuff. But this scene, I mean, it was pretty much just a bunch of teenagers standing around. Some of them were arguing like verbally with each other, and he came running in there like a quarterback, you know, a quarterback, like a football player, just running in there like, I'm going to fucking, you know.
It looked like right toward the beginning of the video, it looked like he started tumbling or something. Like
He fell. He tripped, and he did like a somersault, and he got back up and kept going. And then like, he dropped a flashlight, and the kids picked up the flashlight, and they brought it to him. And they
brought it to another police officer, who was real cool. It's like, oh, hey, thanks a lot. And then
they gave it to him because it looked like him. But
no, it was a different guy because he was the other guy. He took off running. He was still running across the parking lot, as I recall. And so it was like, oh, here, we picked up this guy's flashlight. And he goes, oh, it's not. No, it's not. They were bantering back and forth. No, it's not his. And he goes, and then
because when they handed that guy the flashlight, I thought that was him, and he seemed pretty calm at that moment because he was standing around with other officers and he was just talking, and he was like, what? Oh, thank you. And he took the flashlight.
Yeah, that was
a
different officer.
Immediately following that, he's screaming at people.
Yeah, no, that was he came in from in the video. He comes in from the left. He's like, oh, that's mine, and then that's when all hell started breaking loose again.
Oh, so he was okay. All right. Yeah, because I thought it was kind of an escalation. Like, he came running into the scene, then he was calm and thanked them for giving him the flashlight, and then the next, you know, few seconds, he's screaming at people again. And it's like, whoa, what happened, buddy?
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I mean, he did. He came out right away, apologized, resigned. He was a 10-year veteran on the force, and he just said, like, you know, it was my fault, my bad. I acted inappropriately, and I quit.
Yeah, I'm glad he quit, because if you can't control yourself, you don't belong dealing with the public like that. John, your thoughts?
Before Joe mentioned all of those other things, you know, I actually thought that the officer was a complete douchebag. You know, I was completely unaware of those other things. I just heard, you know, basically, you know, the story about the beginning of it, you know, mm-hmm. how he just went over there and slammed the crap out of those kids and stuff, you know. But I was in law enforcement for 15 years. You know
really?
What I mean? I worked not only with police, I worked with ATF, I worked with FBI, I worked with all of them in some type of arena, not directly for them companies, but I worked with them. And I've even been in the prison system as well. You know, I worked in the prison system for a long time, but I have to say it is a rather stressful job to be in, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be times, you know, that you're going to be tested, and it, I can see where he's coming from when he said that, you know, I can see where Joe was coming from when he said that, you know, that was a lot for him to handle that day.
Yeah.
Because it is a stressful job, but one has to think at the same time, you know, there has to be a line that can't be crossed, you know,
yeah.
And it's hard to not cross it because, again, we're only human. We're not perfect. And it's definitely something, you know, I think, you know, people need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's going to be other officers that are just going to flat out abuse their authority, if you will.
Right.
And
right.
I think the answer to this particular solution would be maybe some more in detail training for the officers that are going to be in their respective police forces, you know?
Oh yeah.
And it's definitely something to consider because I think that it would prepare the officers, you know, for working out on the field.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And because when I worked with other officers and when I worked with the fellow officers in the prison system, you know, I mean, we went through a very detailed training course, you know. They throw gas at us. We had to breathe it, and we had to do all of these other types of things while we were in this gas cloud, so on and so forth. We had to deal with all these simulated stress moments, you know. And I think, you know, because a lot of these people, I mean, a lot of them, you know, simply abuse their power just to abuse it. And again, it goes all the way back to that training thing, you know. Things, you know, they got to come up with a better program to train officers. It's got to be successful, you know, on a tremendous level, you know, and it's something that I've always been concerned about.
Yeah, because it seems to me that police officers nowadays, as humans, we have this response called fight or flight, and it seems like they're always in mode of fight mode. They're always ready to go. I think
part of the job of being a cop, though.
Yeah, I imagine so. But it's the fact is that this guy, he went overboard. I really think he overboard. As I was watching the video, he did pummel this girl onto the concrete. Apparently, she was. I read through the story there, and she didn't have any bruises or scratches or anything like that. So she got off lucky in that regard. So I was still beside myself. The fact is, this guy, he pulls a gun on children. I was like, where the hell are you going to hide a gun in a swimsuit? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with my situation too, Packer, when I was in law enforcement, the last part of my career, I was working for a sheriff's department, and I was a sergeant, and I was working, you know, and I witnessed someone kill themselves myself, you know.
Wow.
And that really screwed me up in the head. And that, at that particular point in time, you know, I realized I tried to make it work. I tried for a couple of years, but I realized that I couldn't handle it anymore. And that's when I became a hazard to my fellow officers and myself, you know.
Yeah.
And I went to get some help. And that's what I'm doing now, getting help for it, you know, because it's another world, you know.
Yeah, I imagine so. I imagine so.
I was just going to throw in that, you know, I think that part of what he's saying, the officers should have better training. Part of that training maybe should be like if you feel like you're at the end of your rope that day, that maybe they should let the officers know that, like, okay, you can contact your supervisor and just be like, I need to be pulled out of the game for a little bit. I need to get my head together. I saw some fucked up shit today, and I don't think that I could be of help to the next situation, or I might be a danger if I go into this next situation, you know, like just give them that out, let them know that they can have that out. Like, you know, cause I worked in a kind of stressful job where there was a history of abuse. Like we took care of people with disabilities. And so one of my supervisors actually said to me, she's like, if you ever feel like you're at wit's end and you just can't take it anymore, call me and I'll send you home and you can come back tomorrow. Just take the day. Don't put yourself in a situation where you might become abusive, because we serve these people and we have to protect them. And so I don't want to have to be in the situation where I have to fire you or discipline you. Just call me and tell me, listen, I can't do this right now. I have to go home.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like I think the police officers, cause they, like, you know, like you said, there's a very stressful job. They should be allowed to have that out. Like, okay, I just came from a murder scene where a guy blew his own head off. Well, not a murder scene, a suicide scene. You know, I had to deal with his crying wife. I need at least, like, you know, give me a few hours. Give me the rest of the day. Right. Let me just go home and get my head together, you know?
Yeah. And I think a big reason why they don't is because they'll be perceived by their fellow officers as a pussy and unable to handle the job. So they'll think, he's not, he can't handle it. Why did you let him off?
Fuck the jock shit, though. We're all human.
I know, but that's the thing is, that's the police department is that. It's a bunch of jocks with guns.
Yep.
Yeah.
I worked around a lot of officers who thought that they were 10 foot tall and bulletproof and they had an 8-inch cock, let me tell you.
Yeah, I've definitely dealt with my fair share of cops who thought they were taller than they were.
Yeah.
But I've also had interactions with police who were, you know, older. They were more experienced, and they were very, very polite and helpful. And like, hey, listen, you know, this is the situation right now. If you need me to come back, call me, and I'll come back.
Right.
You know, and they were just mad cool, and I'm just like, wow, can't all cops be like that? But they're not all like that, because you know, people are different people. So
yeah, no, I've had my fair share of dealing with the police department. I've had both good and bad experiences, not real bad experiences, but you know, nothing to this level. But I mean,
did it hurt when they tased you?
Yes, it did.
And what about the pepper spray? Which one sucked more, the pepper spray or the taser?
Well, it was the taser, because I couldn't put – I told them to give me the pepper spray so I could put it on my pizza. And they just, like, they didn't like that.
And then they give you the pepper spray.
And they give you a pepper spray. It's like, okay, thanks. I just squirted my pizza and I ate it.
Well, to be honest with you, when it comes to pepper spray and tasers, personally, I'd rather be tasered than pepper sprayed.
Yeah, I think so too, because that capsaicia will just, you know, get in your skin, and then it just burns for days and days and days. At least with a taser, you know, you're shocked. Okay, I can get past that after a little while.
I have never been tasered, but I had a roommate who had a canister of mace on a keychain,
mm-hmm.
and he was playing with it, and he accidentally discharged it into the room. And he's like, whoops, I sprayed some of it. And then we all felt it on our skin and in our eyes.
Ugh.
And we went running from the room, and like we felt it for like over an hour. We're just like, this sucks. We're like rinsing our eyes, and we weren't even directly sprayed with it. He just sprayed it into the center of the room, and it was enough to agitate all of us.
I used to drive school bus many years ago, and I think I heard about somebody doing this. They actually had to clear out the entire bus for this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Any contained area, like that stuff gets on everything. And it burns. It hurts.
Yeah. See, I eat electricity for breakfast. I mean, it's not good. It's not very filling
for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's right. It's not very filling, but I mean, I can handle a charge.
put some hot sauce on my burrito.
There you go. And we have the Quiet Atheist from Texas joining us tonight. John, I have some questions for you I want to pose at you. Were you ever religious? And if you were, before, how did you come to your non-belief?
Well, I was a Christian for, I'm wanting to say, about 33 years.
Wow. That's about how long I was.
Yeah. And to make a long story short, one of my core reasons why, in fact, it's probably the biggest reason, but the core reason why I do what I do is the whole childhood indoctrination thing. Mm. And I've only been an atheist now for for the better part of 4 years, maybe 5 years, most.
Still a young atheist.
Yeah. And when I was about 8 years old, I attended a church service with my uncle and his family. And I definitely was remembering how I was sitting there on the benches and listening to the preacher at the pulpit, you know, and talking about revelations and whatnot. And he talked about how in the end times, you know, God is going to release the devil from his hellish prison to reign over earth for a period of 7 years. And everybody's going to have to bear the mark of the beast to grocery shop or to do anything like we normally do now, you know.
Yeah.
And if you refuse this, you're going to be brought to a court where you will be found guilty and you would be sentenced to death by beheading.
Oh,
I was 8 years old when they told me that, you know.
Wow.
So I went through my whole life, you know, with this fear in the back of my mind, you know, what the hell's going on here?
Wow.
And I actually first was exposed to atheism not too long ago. I didn't even know what an atheist was, to be honest with you, for the longest time. I was exposed to my first atheist back during MySpace's heyday.
Oh my gosh, MySpace?
Yeah,
I don't think even MySpace is even around anymore.
Well, it's still around. It's just they messed with it so much it doesn't even look like MySpace anymore.
Oh, I never had a MySpace account. It took me forever to get onto Facebook. I didn't get on Facebook till about 4 years ago. So
yeah. So because, you know, because of all of that stuff, you know, and I started reading the Bible a lot and so on and so forth, you know, and I just determined what rational human being would actually believe in this garbage,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I thought back on my life, you know, because both my father was a Catholic and my mom was a Protestant. And I actually, you know, I just said, I can't take it, because when I was exposed to my first atheist on MySpace, he basically posed out a question to everybody, you know, how could it be in God's plan with September 11th happening? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I replied with one of the most disgusting things I've ever said to an atheist at that particular point in time. And I said, well, what price would you pay to get your point across? You know?
Wow.
And I sat back and I thought to myself, wait a minute. You know, this is wrong. What did I just say? You know?
Wow. That's a hell of a way to come to a revelation. When you said something yourself and you're looking back at it and going, what the fuck did I just say?
Yeah. And I started reading more blog posts, and then I saw, let's see, my first Dusty Smith video probably about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it was from YouTube, and I didn't even know we can post videos on YouTube or anything, because I just thought it was for music. That's how ignorant I was. And I decided to go on YouTube, check it out, you know, and start watching all of these videos and stuff like that, really mm-hmm. listening to what people have to say. And I eventually came to a conclusion, man, you know, and here I am.
My next question is, how do you go about making your videos, and how do you film and edit them?
Well, actually, I don't have any editing software. I don't have anything. All I have is my webcam that my sister got me a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And I have some webcam software on my laptop that I got from the Logitech.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the webcam that I have is really nice. I'll record my video, and then I'm able to upload it directly to YouTube.
Okay. I noticed you have this new intro where it has the Quiet Atheist of this guy with a hat and everything. Is like, did you make that yourself, or did someone else make that for you, or?
No, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the guy, but he goes by the name of P.W. Swivel.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. We haven't had him on the show yet, but I'm familiar with him, yes.
Yeah, he's the one that made the intro and outro for my channel.
Oh, well, we'll have to eventually maybe get him on the show at some point. Maybe help us spruce things up here. What got you into making YouTube videos? I mean, what really inspired you to go, you know what, I got something naggy to say, and I need to put up a channel so everybody else can hear this as well.
Well, to be honest with you, Packard, the bigger YouTube channels, you know, the bigger YouTube or atheist YouTubers out there inspired me to a degree, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I myself wanted my voice heard, you know, and it's something that I have always wanted to do right from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I said, well, what the heck? I want to start posting, get more comfortable talking in front of a camera. And then I could just go balls to the wall with it, you know?
You know, if you do that on YouTube, they block your channel. Just saying.
Well, I don't mean
I'm just kidding.
I don't mean literally.
That's a whole other channel. If you're gonna do that, that's a whole other channel. I apologize. I like the kid. What's the one of the best YouTube channels out there you've seen that you personally like, other than, you know, Packard Pokes at?
Well, I've got a bunch that I like, man. It's hard to pinpoint which ones are the best. The one of the ones I have to be honest with, there's two that I'll say here now.
Okay.
The two of the ones that I like the most. One of them's from Dark Matter 2525.
Oh yeah, I like Dark Matter 2525. He's kids and I sit. We'll watch together actually once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I love his work, you know, and it's awesome. And the other one is Theoretical Bullshit.
I have not heard of him yet. I'll have to subscribe to him later.
Theoretical Bullshit. Yeah, yeah. He makes really excellent, like, highly intelligent videos.
Yes, I mean, he when he speaks and when he makes his videos, damn, dude, he's sophisticated and everything. I mean, I watch his videos because I'm fascinated with philosophy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no bullshitting with that guy, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I will definitely have to check him out.
Matt Dillahunty said that he likes to download the audio of his YouTube videos and listen to them as podcasts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Cool. Now, I asked this of all our guests. How did you come up with your name for your channel, The Quiet Atheist? How did that evolve?
Well, initially, when I first started my YouTube channel, it was called The Closet Atheist, you know, because I didn't tell anybody.
Right.
But after I made a few videos, you know, I had a subscriber come up to me and basically tell me, you know what, you're really quiet in your videos. You don't shout, you don't cuss, you don't flip people off, you don't do this, you don't do that. I think I'm going to call you The Quiet Atheist. And it stuck with me.
Oh, I see. So somebody else gave you the name. Oh, yeah. That's kind of cool, too. What do you do? You were mentioning previously in our first segment that you were working with the police force. What do you do now for work? Do you have a regular job or do you just make videos mainly to survive?
Well, what I do now is, after I told you guys about that experience that I had to quit. I went, got some help, like I said. I was diagnosed with having PTSD.
Hmm.
I have a major depressive disorder, and I have a severe anxiety disorder. So right now I'm trying to get help from the government.
Okay.
And that's what I got going now.
Okay. That's well, at least it's something, you know. Got to bring
good luck with that, man.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Dealing with the government, it's never a fun situation. Joe, do you have any questions for the Quiet Atheist?
I'm so embarrassed. No.
You don't have any questions?
Oh, I'd like to make a quick comment. Sorry
sure.
about that, Joe.
No problem.
To the guy in the chat box, Torvarin.
Oh, Torvian, yes.
Torvian, yeah. He said he was assuming that I was Hispanic, and that is correct. I am.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, that's cool.
I'm shocked.
Shocked, mate. Shocked. We'll take some questions from the chat room. And if you would like to call and have your question on the air, you can call 857-216-3200. Use PIN number 35368 or go to uberconference.com/PackardPokesat and then you can call in and then you can take your question right on the air. I'll repeat the number again. It's 857-216-3200. The PIN number is 35368 and it should be scrolling across the bottom of your screen right now as well.
Okay. I've got The Quiet Atheist YouTube channel up.
Okay.
It says popular uploads, my kids, science, and dinosaurs. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my most popular video.
Tell me about that video.
I had to work that day. It was still when I was in the prison system. I used to work for the maximum security penitentiary here where I'm at. And my wife decided one day that she was going to take the kids out to this dinosaur museum. Mm-hmm. And it was like it's only here once a year. So she decided to take them. And they had these animatronic dinosaurs that were built up, you know, and they'd walk a little bit, move their head, make sounds, whatever, you know. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
And it was like a dinosaur museum. They show fossils, you know, and stuff like that. And she recorded it. So I broke it down in sections and I decided to upload it. And there's what, almost 9,000 views on that video. That's
wow.
That's the most popular one I have.
Cool.
Wow. That's cool. I'm going to have to definitely check that out. I love dinosaurs.
Yeah, we have a caller. We have Dave on the line. Dave, you have a question for the Quiet Atheist.
I do. So you had mentioned the 7 years and all of that after the rapture. And I actually recently my mother asked me what the rapture was. And she is a... she's an Episcopalian, so she's kind of Catholicism light. But some of our relatives were discussing the rapture over dinner and apparently implied that she was going to hell, and she asked me to tell her about the rapture. As an atheist, how should I respond, and how involved in my mother's affairs with family should I get?
That's a good, that's a good question, Dave. Thank you.
Well, I mean, it's like this, you know, it's up to you basically how involved you want to get with this subject with your family, you know, because there's always that situation, you know, well, how they're going to react, you know, to what you're going to talk about, especially the person that you do want to talk about with this, as far as explaining the rapture is concerned. Because with me personally, I never told any of my family, you know, they don't know that I'm an atheist or pretty much it doesn't matter to me now anyways, because they practically disowned me after my mother died. So, but if you want to sit down with her and talk with her about it, you know, that's would be up to you if you want. As far as the family is concerned, well, it is also up to you if you want. I mean, how are they with you? Do they know that you're an atheist?
My family knows that I'm an atheist. My mother recently has expressed that she was questioning. Now, my family and I are pretty estranged. My mother is close with them. My mother simply saying she was questioning has led one of our cousins who just had a newborn baby to think that my mother was going to brainwash her baby into being an atheist, despite my mother not really being an atheist. So, I mean, they know where I stand. However, I stay out of their affairs. Now my mother's asking me about these things. Specifically,
well,
they brought up the rapture and said that she was, you know, damned.
Well, if you like I say, you know, if you feel comfortable explaining it to your mother, I mean, I'm all for that. You know, if you want to sit down with her and have a talk about it, that's fine. You know, because it's... You know, one of the main driving forces that I have, you know, is childhood indoctrination. You know what I mean? And it's something that, you know, I despise. You know, I cannot stand that crap, you know, because I was a child myself when I first heard of it. And I've never really had anybody approach me and ask me to explain these things to them. But like I was telling you, you know, if she's willing to sit there and listen to what it actually is, you know, by all means, explain it to her. You know, let her, let's see what she has, see what her thoughts are about it.
All right. We had a question come in over Twitter from my producer. She asks, what would it take for you to change your mind about being an atheist? Which I'm sure a lot of, I'm sure you get that question a lot, actually.
Well, evidence.
Thank you. That's, and thank you, Dave, for calling in.
I'm a show me atheist.
I get that. I was like, what would it take? Evidence, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, see, the problem with Christianity for me is they start with a conclusion, right?
Yeah.
And it's something that's absurd to me. It's preposterous. But that's, you know, I get a lot of these guys coming to my YouTube channel, you know, and they tell me this, they tell me that, and I go, okay, where's your evidence?
Right.
And then they come up with, where do you get your morality from? Where do you get this from? Where do you get that from? Oh, man.
Connie had a question she goes, was asking from the chat room here. That's Seawalker. She asks, what brand of Christianity did you belong to? You know, what flavor of the month, or what flavor of the Christianity, I guess.
Flavor of the month.
That's what I like to call them, the flavors.
Yeah. I was Catholic.
Oh, Catholic. I got to ask, I've never taken part in anything in Catholicism, but I know I've seen it done. People go up and they get the little wafer shoved down their throat. They tell you not to chew those, right? But I have observed it a few times where people walk away and I can see them start chewing on it right away. You're supposed to like to let this thing like dissolve in your mouth.
Yeah. I did that for a midnight mass, if you will, when my wife and I first got married, and we had to go to a midnight mass and do all of that stuff through the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Midnight mass is the one on Christmas Eve, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. We had to do that. Yeah. It was one of the steps we had to take before we could get married.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My next question about those things, I've heard they're flavorless. I mean, do they taste good in peanut butter? I mean, with peanut butter on them, I just
I don't know. I've never tried one with peanut butter. I'm not sure.
But I'm assuming that these things are like flavorless and tasteless.
A friend of mine.
Well, they're pretty much flavorless, I think. Yeah, they're not. They don't have any real detailed taste to them at all.
Oh, so you just, if you did put peanut butter, you'd just be just tasting peanut butter then, huh?
Yeah.
Just something to hold the peanut butter at that point.
A friend of mine told me that at his brother's first communion, his brother went up, accepted the communion, came back, and was like, Jesus needs more salt.
Catholics always claim that they, you know, this is the they claim that this cracker turns into the body of Christ, you know, like pieces of Christ.
The flesh of Christ.
The flesh of Christ. I mean, did that ever strike you as being like somewhat cannibalistic? It should taste like bacon.
Well, it seems to be a little bit ridiculous, wouldn't you think? I mean, how big does this guy have to be in order to spread around to the entire planet full of Catholics?
Yes. Jesus had a lot of meat on his bones, apparently. You know, he must have been a really big guy, you know, if they've been able to hand out pieces of his skin for like 2,000 years. I'm just saying, yeah.
He has to probably be literally the size of Galactus for Marvel Comics.
Exactly, man. Exactly. We're going to go on mine some Jesus right now. We'll be back in a couple of hours. did we have any other questions from the chat room there? Dave had made a comment that I don't think the Catholics consider the Book of Revelations to be more than allegory.
Well, yeah, the thing is... when I went to that church service with my uncle, they were from a different denomination. Mm-hmm. And that's where I heard the revelations from.
Do we have any other callers or questions that would like to ask John a question?
I don't see any.
I don't see any. Oh, here we go. One from Dawkins Dog. If you could wipe religion from history, would you?
Probably not. And the reason why? is because if something is totally destroyed and off the planet, I mean, there's always going to be something else to replace it.
That's true. I heard this great quote a while back. If all history was reset, science and facts would still be science and facts because, you know, they're based in facts. Religion would take a whole nother form because it's so fluid. We could, instead of, you know, believing that, you know, there's a magic man in the sky, we could believe that the dirt is specially soiled or something, you know, or whatever. It could take a whole other form.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. There would always be something to replace it. You know, I was reading a couple of articles the other day how the numbers for Christianity are rapidly going down. You know what I mean? There's more and more people leaving than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
But I also read another article about how Islam is rising, you know, and that's definitely something that is worrying me as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't matter if any of these religions were completely wiped out, you know. There would always be something to replace them.
Yeah. Dawkins Dog asked a follow-up question. If you could remove it as of tomorrow, would you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I probably wouldn't. You know, I'm not your kind of like your hardcore anti-theist. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I just let them do their own thing as long as they mind their own business and stop shoving it down other people's throats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the moment it hits Capitol Hill and the moment it hits the public school system and the moment you get a bunch of these street preachers on the street harassing people and stuff like that, you know, that's when I have a problem with it.
Yeah. For me, I'm an agnostic atheist, but socially, when it comes to religion and our social structure, I'm an anti-theist. And I would personally like to see it gone myself.
Yeah, well, and that's understandable. I even had people approach me and ask me if I was an anti-theist because there are things that I have a strong stance against when it comes to Christianity. And, you know, and it's – I just don't like it. I really don't. I can't stand it. But at the same time, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's complicated for me. I'm not the type of person that likes to go and, you know, trample on other individuals, you know, and stuff like that. It's just, I'm different. I'm an agnostic atheist too, but I don't know, man. It's just, I think it's extremely unnecessary for society because we can obviously see in society today that it does nothing but hold society back. I mean,
oh, I agree with you on that point. We had another question from Dave. You're damned. he says, do you think education without indoctrination is the best path to atheism?
I think education is very important. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we teach kids, you know, how to think and not what to think, I think they'd be a lot better off, you know?
Yes.
One of the situations with me is very rough in my household because my wife is full-blown Catholic.
Oh, I hear you can get a shot for that now. No.
and I'm, you know, when it comes to our kids, you know, you're fine to learn whatever you want to learn. You judge for yourselves what's what, and I'm fine with it. You know, you come up with your own conclusions. I'm not going to tell you what conclusions to have.
Very good. Very good. You mentioned your wife is Catholic. Is there any friction between you two when it comes to this, or is this like we'll just deal with everything one thing at a time, and when it comes to this topic, we just like opposite poles and just repel away from each other, and we just don't bring it up, or how does that work for you?
Well, once in a while she'll bring it up. We'll get into an argument sometimes, whatnot, but it's never really an issue in the house.
Okay.
She does tend to like to mock me in front of people, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's always fun.
That's not cool.
Yeah, and it's all right though. I don't really get pissed off about it, you know, but I don't know.
You know, that's what I find is kind of interesting is that if you were to, let's reverse the roles a little bit here. If you were to do that to her, she would, you know, be crying persecution, you know. I'm not saying that that's her personality, but I mean a lot of Christians would do that. But they feel like it's like, okay, I can kind of, you know, poke fun at the atheist because he doesn't believe. And that seems to be perfectly a legitimate stance for them.
Well, one day she poked fun at me on my Facebook by sending me a picture of a praying mantis.
Uh-huh.
But the only difference between that picture and a regular picture of the praying mantis was the fact that the praying mantis that she sent me wasn't praying. He just had his arms up going, you know, like, I don't know, what's next, you know?
So it's like, all good humor then. It's kind of good humor. It's like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
And John, I'm in a similar situation. My wife is Catholic, and for the most part, we leave each other alone about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have had discussions, but, you know, for the most part, it's just like she goes to church on Sundays. I can't hang out with her until she comes back. So it is what it is. So.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about us, despite our differences, my wife and I, she's always there to support me. She supports me in regards to my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
She supports me. Even though she disagrees with me, she'll support me, though.
Oh, that's good, at least.
Yeah.
We had another question from Dave, You're Damned. Do you have children? And if you had children, how would you deal with the education and religious consideration, your wife and situation and disagreement?
Well, I have two children. One's 15 and one's 10.
Mm-hmm.
As far as them learning about things is concerned, you know, if they're going to learn about a religion, they have to learn about all of them.
There you go.
They can't just learn about one, you know.
And your wife is okay with that then? Saying, you know, it's like, oh, if I'm going to teach them one, I got to teach them all of them?
Yeah, because they can't just, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, they're more than welcome to learn anything they want, study anything they want, you know, and they could come up to their own conclusions eventually, but I'm not going to influence them on what to think about.
Oh, that's good. Know? I really wish the religious people would do that as well. We'll take any last questions there. Oh, P.W. Swivel just joined us in the chat room. Hello, P.W.
Yeah, there's P.W. Swivel. Yep,
there he is. P.W., do you have any questions for the Quiet Atheist since you just joined us?
Yes, P.W. Any questions for me, buddy?
He's thinking. Dawkins asked another question. He said, if you had to pick one religion to follow, which would it be?
Oh, that was a good one there. That's a good question. Let's see here. If I actually believed that there were gods out there, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I would have to go with the Greeks.
The Greeks?
Yeah. Like Zeus and...
Oh, those ones.
Guys.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is according to their mythology, you know, they acknowledge their mistakes.
Oh, okay.
You know, and with Christianity, you have Christians who say, you know, oh, he cannot make mistakes. He's perfect. This and that. Yada, 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 yada. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just something about the Greek mythology, you know, I'm really interested in it. You know, I'm not going to become a theist or anything like that, but, you know, it's just, I'm interested in that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Dave commented that they are human enough to relate. And I was thinking the same exact thing in that point. I mean, because, and you made the point there that they make mistakes, they admit to it or whatever. Sometimes they try not to, but, you know, you can see how human their mistakes are by doing certain things, and they're more relatable in that regards.
Yeah, and that's you know, the mythology that I would pick, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to get on to our next topic, but John, you're welcome to stay if you would like.
Sure. I'll stay.
All right. Excellent. Let's get on Woo-hoo! To our next topic for this evening.
Because there's nothing but death and refuse in the rectum. No life can come out of the rectum. The rectum is designed to get rid of death and waste. That's demonic, everybody. It is absolutely demonic.
Yeah, shit it.
We
the Bugs Bunny.
There you go. Rick Santorum recently came out on Glenn Beck's show saying that legalizing gay marriage is a violation of the establishment cause. Let's go to that video now.
Rick Santorum deleted the internet.
The president, now the Supreme Court, is going to deal with gay marriage. And we had David Barton on yesterday who showed us some things that came from the Department of Justice, their attorneys, on the changes that they will inflict on churches. Yeah. We will lose our tax-free status. They will start telling us who we can and cannot hire, what we can say, what we cannot, who we can marry, who we cannot. You're going to have to deal with that as president of the United States. What do you do there?
Well, look, this is tantamount to government establishing religion. When the United States government comes in and says, this is what you're going to believe, this is how you're going to practice your faith, this is a new religion. This violates, in my opinion, the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, which says that the Congress shall make no law with respect to the establishment of religion. If the government goes around and tells churches what they have to believe in and what their doctrine is, that is something that is a violation of the First Amendment. And that's why I have actually some hope that the court's not going to get this wrong, that they're not going to go as far as some are suggesting, because there is no way that the left will stop at mere tolerance. They will demand conformity. They will demand it from the church. They will demand it from every institution. They'll demand it from businesses, and there will be no tolerance to a different point of view on this issue. And that's why, again, I'm hopeful that the court will not do what it does. But if it does, I will tell you, and I said this on Meet the Press a couple of weeks ago, that's the court's opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. The president and the Congress have an opinion, too, of what the Constitution is. And if they get it wrong, and the consequences are what I suspect they will be toward people of faith, then this president will fight back.
He thinks he's actually going to become the president. He goes, this president will fight back. Real quick here. First off, Beck, he goes, well, the government's going to tell us who we can marry and who we can't marry. I can't believe he actually fucking said that. That's exactly what they want. They want the government to say, because you're gay, you can't get married. Unfucking believable. I can't fucking believe he actually said that. And then Rick Santorum comes in saying, oh, if gays be able to get married, they're establishing a religion. Except for the fact is, when he ran for president, I read the Kennedy thing about separation of church and state, and it made me want to throw up, because religion should be part of government. Oh, yeah, which religion? Oh, yeah, that's right, his religion.
Oh. You know what Glenn Beck should do?
What's that?
Pull his bottom lip over his head and swallow. That guy, I mean, him and Santorum, man, the thing with these people like this, man, is they want to claim, you know, persecution. Christians are being persecuted here in the United States. They have no idea what persecution is. Yeah. In fact, it's mostly Christians that are in the government. You know what I mean? They're the ones making laws. They're the ones doing this, doing that. You know, they're free to do whatever they want as far as their religion is concerned.
Yeah.
But they want to right away scream persecution when someone disagrees with them. Give me a break.
Yeah, no kidding.
We're the persecuted majority.
Right. Dawkinsog tweeted in, "Dear Santorum, you won't be forced to marry another man. None of them are that desperate."
That's for sure.
I think that Rick Santorum in this clip is definitely fear-mongering for a problem that doesn't exist.
Absolutely.
He's talking about how the government's going to come in and tell churches what to believe. Okay, find me that government official that is telling churches what to believe.
Yeah.
Where is that happening? How is that a thing? Like, where is the bill that says, okay, this is what churches are now going to believe? It doesn't exist. Exactly. Totally doesn't exist. He's fear-mongering. He's just like, and then they're going to do this, and then they're going to do that, and government this, and government that. No. None of that is happening.
Right.
This is all pretend. It's all in his head.
He mentioned that, saying, well, they're going to tax the church. I was like, you know, honestly, I'd like to have that happen. In fact, there is a law saying that if a church gets involved in politics, that they're supposed to start taxing, because take away their tax-free status. If he were, you know, honest about that, I would have no problem. But he says, oh, we're going to start taxing the church. It's not happening yet. I mean, I would like to see it happen.
It's not even proposed.
It's not even proposed, right. And the thing is, though, if we did, we could wipe out poverty tomorrow, because we lose over $18 billion. That's with a B, everybody. Over $18 billion in lost tax revenue from these fucking churches. Look at these mega churches. What's that?
You're mistaken. Yeah. It's like $87 or $88 billion.
Oh, $87 billion.
That could be raised if the churches were taxed, but they're not.
Okay, I must have reversed the numbers in my head. Yeah. But over $80 billion. I apologize. Over $80 billion. Now, when the government first got going, the reason why I think they gave churches the tax exempt status is so, you know, the churches were small and they didn't have a whole lot of income. This is not the case today. This is 2015, and we have churches that have mega churches, and they're going out and buying jet planes. Oh, and Pat Robertson's diamond mines and things like that. I mean,
oh, that damn crypt keeper.
I know. If you get a chance, you should come out and watch Mr. Priestley sometime. He's a spot on for Pat Robertson. But
there's that one preacher. He owns his own airport next to his own house.
Yeah.
Shay.
but he needs tax-free status.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, how else is he supposed to get around and do his stuff without his own fleet of airplanes and his own airport?
Yeah, exactly. Dave had mentioned it's not really a law. It's a tax code provision. Okay. I apologize if I made a little difference in the distinction there. But it's still... they should be taxed. I honestly think they should be taxed. Dawkins tweeted, if a church is going to mess in politics, it should pay taxes. No taxes, no say. Equal no say. I agree. But the thing is, the churches, they do this anyway. They do it boldly. It's like, yeah, they're not going to take away our tax-free status. Watch them try. We'll pray them away or whatever. I'm like,
well, they're legally not allowed to tell their parishioners who to vote for.
Right.
But yet they still give out voting guides and they stand at the pulpit and there's videos all over YouTube of preachers up at the pulpit like, yeah. Okay, listen, we're not allowed to tell you who to vote for, but the voting guide's going around, so pay close attention to it. So
yeah.
They're telling people who to vote for.
Exactly. We want you to vote for the person who's Christian, and they're all Christian. Let's face it.
Who's
going
to protect our tax exempt status?
Yeah, and the ones that want to make sure that those babies get born, you know, and are real conservative. Oh yeah, that'd be the Republicans.
Against the condoms and the gays.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what they're doing now. They're really making it an effort as far as, like, you know, women's rights are concerned, mm-hmm. and all kinds of other things, you know. Then you got these other states who want to twist the Constitution and sneak the Bible into the public school system and teach it as science, you know?
Yeah. We had a mention from Connie in the chat room there. She said, Mr. Priestley thinks Pat Robertson is a bit too liberal, though. I'm just saying. Dave added in here, the FFRF won that case recently that should change in the next few years, that the courts ruled that the IRS agreed that the code is to be enforced. I remember hearing about something like that they're supposed to be enforcing this code.
That's right. They sued them for enforcement of, what was it, the church's, what we were just talking about, the church's advocating political speech.
Right.
Like, it wasn't being enforced. That part of it wasn't being enforced. And the FFRF sued the IRS and said, you have to start enforcing that because that's important.
Right.
And the FFRF and the IRS was like, oh, okay, because they lost the case.
But. Yeah. But we're a little off topic here. But Santorum here.
No, it's on topic. It's what Santorum talked about.
Right, exactly. But he thinks that legalizing gay marriage is a violation of the Establishment Clause. I don't understand why he thinks that. He's thinking that because, you know, if gay people get married, it becomes a religion. I did see this great comment that was on that page, though, said that gay people should form their own religion, and this way they could say, if you don't let us get married, you're violating our religious freedoms. I'm just saying, you know, which I thought was brilliant because the Republicans and the right wing are pushing, oh, religious freedom. So, and that's actually worked in one case where some people had a club and they got church exempt status. So they, because their neighbors were trying to put them out of business, was an adult club. And so they became a church. They became a legal church. So they couldn't say shit about it. So
I might have to start going to church.
You better take you about $500 worth of ones too to donate.
Yeah.
This collection basket only accepts singles.
That's not a basket, Joe. Just saying. It's more
J-string shaped. Mama told me to call you the basket.
How long have you had these droids?
About 3 or 4 seasons.
They're up for sale if you want them.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
A man was out in Massachusetts, mind his own business, got stopped by some police. Why? Because he was dressed like a stormtrooper.
What the hell?
Massachusetts man is facing charges after he was spotted outside a city elementary school dressed as a Star Wars stormtrooper, complete with a fake gun. See, that's what tipped him off, is because he was wearing a gun. Even though it was fake, they still stopped and questioned him. He had just bought the costume. He was walking through the neighborhood and showing his friends. And apparently he lives near a school. He's walking by. He's the principal. Called 911 to report a man with a gun, and the school was briefly locked down. The police spokesman said in the Salem News that the way things are in society, you can't have that. He said that the guy, his name is George Cross, said he used bad judgment. He was released on personal recognizance after pleading not guilty Thursday to disturbing a school and loitering. Walking, since when is walking down the fucking street loitering? I mean, really?
That's a good question. I mean, I heard about that story, but I didn't read it in full detail, you know?
Yeah.
So I probably don't know what actually happened, but that seems to be a bit ridiculous to me. I mean, the guy obviously wasn't bothering anybody. I mean,
yeah. See, if they had a whole group of stormtroopers, I don't think the cops would have fucked them because they were afraid, you know, they're going to get hit with blasters.
No, the stormtroopers don't shoot anybody. They just miss.
In other words, they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat.
I don't know. There's some contention to that, you know. Some people say that the stormtroopers can actually hit pretty good. So
I watched the video that was attached to this article, and the guy was followed by the reporters out of a courtroom because, you know, that he was arrested.
Right.
He had to go to court. After he left court, he didn't want to talk to the reporters, but they were chasing him down the street like, come on, come on, just tell us what went on. And he turned briefly and said to them, man, I bought a costume and I was going to go show my friend it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is understandable. I mean, that's probably what really was going on. However, he was hanging out by an elementary school holding a fake, realistic looking gun.
Oh.
And the parents were starting to show up to pick up their kids, and they're the ones that started to complain, like, yo, why is there a dude out here in a weird costume holding a gun? So, like, if he was just walking down the street in just a stormtrooper costume, mm-hmm. I can see, like, nobody would be like, people would be like, oh, fucking look, there's a dude in a stormtrooper costume. That's weird, but whatever. But he also walked down the street holding the gun, and it was it didn't have an orange tip in the barrel. It didn't have anything. It was all black. It looked like a gun. Like, some of the mothers in the video even described it as, it looked like a guy in a mask with an Uzi was walking down the street.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
And so it made them nervous. It made them understandably upset. Like, why is this dude hanging out by the elementary school with a gun? And so that's why he got, you know, he gets to go to court now and explain it to a judge. So,
yeah, I could see that.
I mean, he should have fucking known better. He should have put the blaster in a bag. He should have left the blaster at home if he's going to show up at his friend's house wearing a stormtrooper outfit. Like, hey,
that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Have you knock on the door and open the door. There's a stormtrooper at your door.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I understand the humor. I understand that. But, like, leave the blaster at home. You don't need to, like, yeah, it's part of the costume. You just got it in the mail. Fuck the part that looks like a fucking gun. You're going to get your ass shot.
Right.
Or arrested, which he did.
Yeah. Connie from the chat room said, or if he had been driving an ice cream truck.
Right.
A stormtrooper selling ice cream to little kids on the street.
Yeah,
I bet you if you Google that, you'll find an image of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. That seems that seems legit. Speaking of legit, we have some words that we need you to hear about something that's very legitimate, and we'll be back after just a few moments to ruin the rest of the show for you.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @ppappodcast.
@PackardPokeSat. Like us on Facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at Patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us,
you kick ass.
You say I'm always talking. Yeah, whatever you say.
We had some comments from our last video. A lot of really good ones. It was hard to pick one out, but we did pick one out eventually. And we chose this one here from Karn33333. And he said, if God made science because God made man and man made science, well, really discovered it, then by that same logic, we should execute the parents of the people who are found guilty and put on death row because by the same logic, the parents murdered whomever because they created the child who killed someone. Okay, that's an interesting way of looking at it because I had made a comment saying that Christians will claim that God created science because God created man, therefore by extension, God created science. So by the same logic, if a parent has a kid that's killed somebody, they should kill the parents because you made the kid. I'm just saying. Anyone had any comments on this this quote here from Karn?
That's got to be the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard.
It is.
Well, for one thing, you know, they haven't even established a position of providing any kind of evidence that a God exists. You know, a God could be a he, a she. It could be E.T., you know.
Yeah.
And then from there, they got to establish that it is, in fact, their God that exists. And then from there, they got to establish a fact that, you know, he has all of these miraculous powers, so on and so forth. You know, they got a rough hill to climb, and they haven't been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like ice skating uphill for them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that it is. Dave said that's not the same logic. It's false comparison. Okay. That's a fair statement then.
I'm going to Karn's house with a Stormtrooper blaster. I know where he lives too.
Oh, great. All right. Well, if we don't have any other comments, then we're going to have to get out of here. I want to thank the Quiet Atheist for joining us tonight. John, where can they find your channel?
YouTube.com/ YouTube.com/TheQuietAtheist.
There you go. Do you have a Twitter account, which is also at The Quiet Atheist too?
Yes.
Okay. So you can reach him on Twitter. So give him a follow on Twitter. And are you on Facebook as well by chance?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. So give him a follow on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, John. And I just subscribed to your YouTube channel.
Yes.
No problem. Thank you guys for the subscription. Also, Packard, will I be getting a copy of the show?
Absolutely you will. Absolutely
okay.
You will.
Okay.
As soon as I get done doing my my digital magic.
Oh, hey, that's not a problem, man. Thanks for subscribing to me, guys out there. If you guys subscribe to me, thanks in advance.
You're welcome.
And when he sends you a digital copy, make sure you wash it really well because he's done a lot of magic all over it.
Oh, man. Packard, what are you doing over there, buddy?
That's my special brand of magic.
You gotta put your Packard stamp on it or what?
That's right. I gotta get my Packard stamp of approval on there.
Oh,
Yeah, I just looked you up on Twitter, and you already follow me, and I already follow you.
Oh, okay. Okay, that works. What's your handle on Twitter?
It's Joe Unseen.
Joe Unseen.
Oh, okay. I know who that. Okay. I know who you are now.
There you go.
You're like, oh, that guy.
Oh, that guy.
No, oh, that guy. Say,
yeah, come on now.
It's just that guy. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming to the chat room. We had a few new faces in the chat room, and I appreciate you coming. And come again next week. We'll be back next week with our short show. And until then, this has been Packard Pokes That. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.